Well, good morning to each of you. We certainly appreciate you being here with us by way of Facebook and able to look into the Word of God and notice some things He has for us today. Here this Lord's Day, a beautiful day outside, and certainly we are thankful for the good weather that God gives us from day to day. He gives us what we need. Sometimes it's not necessarily what we want, but it's what we need. And have a beautiful day outside, and certainly thankful for that. Every Lord's Day is beautiful. Really, every day that God gives us life is a beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with, and we can worship Him and honor Him. Whether we be in the house, out of the house, in the car, wherever we might be, we can always have fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of Him, we have the ability to one day step into the very presence of our Creator, and we'll be able to thank Him and praise Him throughout all eternity for what He has done for us. We're grateful for the blessings that God's given us this week. We have not heard of anyone having extreme sickness, and we're thankful for that. We've heard of some that are recovering, and we're very thankful for that. And always thankful for answered prayer. God burdens our heart for certain things. We pray, and then we can see the answer to the prayers that we give. And that certainly is an encouragement to every child of God to know that we're not in this alone. We have someone that will help us and guide us and direct us. He's always there in our presence. And we're looking forward to the time we can come and gather back into the house of the Lord very shortly. I believe we'll be able to do that. But we're going to go ahead, I think, and continue on these Facebook Lives even after we get back into the building as people, because there are some that are listening and watching that are encouraged, and we want to continue to do that for the people of the Lord. And who knows the end result of who might listen, who might tune in and hear the Word of God. God has a plan, and He's working His plan. Sometimes we don't understand it, but He's working His plan, and it will culminate one day in the very presence of the Lord, we being able to face Him and be face to face, as the old Psalm says. And all that is possible through this morning, this Lord's Day, here May the, I believe it's the 3rd, and we thank God for the opportunity. This morning we're going to be reading a verse in the book of Genesis, chapter number 18. But before we do that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings and thank Him for what He has done. Our dear Lord in heaven, we thank You today for the privilege of being able to open the Scripture, Your Word, and let it speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, You've instructed us to study and to read and to know the things that You have in Your Word. And You've instructed us to take the Scripture, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, just taking the Word of God as it is to men as they are, that we might be able to not only know our way to heaven, but to have a good way and a good path to follow in this life that You've given. Father, we do thank You for those that have recovered from sicknesses. We thank You, Lord, for blessing them. We ask, God, that You continue to bless those that are working diligently through these struggles that we have. We do pray for our leadership. We pray, God, for our president. We pray for our nation. We ask, Lord, that You would heal our nation. And I know, God, that You've told us in Your Word that if we seek Your face, that You're there to hear and to help. And then, if it's in Your will, to heal us physically, spiritually, every way in our life. And then, Lord, we do thank You for prayers that have been answered. I thank You, Lord, for hearing us and taking the time and taking the opportunity to make us know that You're there with us. And so, Father, everything said and done, it's all because of You. Nothing because of us, but because of You. Now, we ask that You bless the message this morning. If nothing else, bless the thoughts just simply out of the Word of God. We may make comments, we may have messages, but the most important thing we have in our possession is Your Word to our heart. Now forgive us, we ask, where we are weak, and help us, Lord, to find strength in You. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, your Son and our Savior. Amen. All right, in the book of Genesis this morning, chapter number 18, we could take time to read verses 1 through 15, and it is the account of where Abraham begins to question the Lord that why he hasn't had a son, he and Sarah, why he hadn't had seed that was promised unto him. He begins to question the Lord. He said, Lord, we've been this many years, and I still do not have a seed. And so we could read all these verses and take the time, but I want us to key in on one particular verse this morning, and it's a question that all of us can ask, and it's a question that is answered by the Lord himself, and the answer is found in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 14, this is really the question that was asked to Abraham in an answer to his doubtings and fears. Verse number 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's all I want to read this morning. This that one question, is there anything too hard for Jehovah? And we find this morning that as Abraham was fearful and as he was doubtful, the Lord asked him the question, do you think there's anything I cannot perform? The Lord had promised Abraham back in chapter 15 of Genesis that God had told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. Abraham would be the father of many nations. And he told Abraham, he said, you look to the sky and see all the stars. He said, that will be your seed. He said, you look to the sand of the sea and you see all the sand. He said, that will be as your seed. Abraham heard that. Abraham understood that. But now time has gone on. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is up close to the same age. And humanly speaking, they were not able to have children. And so the Lord waited to answer the promise to Abraham to prove that God, our God, is a God of impossibilities. He can deal with things that we would never deal with ourselves. He can handle things that we can have to throw our hands up and say, I cannot do that. And so God asked Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God's people sometimes get discouraged. That's a well-known fact. And when somebody would disagree with that, then there's something wrong with their understanding, because we do get discouraged. Sometimes we even get despondent and we throw our hands up and say, there's no way possible. And I believe that's maybe where Abraham was in his life right now. He was discouraged, and he come to the point of saying, it's an impossibility. We've gone this far, this many years, and Sarah cannot have a child. But God says, Abraham, there's nothing impossible. Is there anything that God cannot perform? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And sometimes we begin to doubt, and I believe probably Abraham would fall into all three of those categories. Well, guess what? At times we all fall into any of those, or maybe all three of those categories as a believer. But I believe the question here is asked to encourage not only Abraham, but as it is recorded in the Word of God, it is given to encourage you and I. There's nothing too hard for our God. Things that may seem impossible to us, it's nothing to the Lord. And so this morning, I just want us to think a few minutes on this is anything. In your mind, you can think of things and you can ask that question, is it too hard for God? No, it's not. You may have a personal problem. You may have a spiritual need. You may have a financial need. You may have a need in your life that nobody knows about. Well, it's not impossible for God to fulfill and to supply that need according to his riches and according to his will. We say it is impossible, but God says, and has told us in Luke chapter number 18 in verse number 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So there's the difference between man and God. God's not a man like us. He is God. He's the creator. He's the all-sovereign God of this universe. He spoke it and it came into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul, never to die. And so the things that we find are impossible to us, God says it's not impossible for God. It is very possible. We say that maybe we're too tired to do all the things that God has for us. But in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come unto me, ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so he has the answer to that. We say, nobody loves me. I'm sure we've all come to the point sometimes in our life we feel like nobody really cares, nobody loves us. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Thank God, yet he loved us and he died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 4 verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. Now the word propitiation there means a substitute or a payment for our sins. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that promised seed. God promised to Adam and Eve there would be a seed. And that seed came through the generations, and Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. And he was that promised seed that God had given. And so we maybe think we just can't go on, and we think nobody cares, but God says you can go on. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, I read those one Wednesday night. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. Thank God we can acknowledge him. We can do away with our understanding, do away with our wisdom, and just depend upon the Lord. We may say, I can't do it, and God says, I can do all things through Christ. And so he has an answer. We may say we're not able, but God says he is always sufficient in all things to abound in every good work to make us able. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We say we don't have the means to do it. And God says, I'll supply your need. We don't have the money. God said, I'll give you the money. If God directs you to do something and you don't understand how you're going to accomplish that, you can rest assured that if God has laid it upon your heart, God will supply the need. That's why we here at Church do Faith Promise Missions. It's not what we can count up that we can do. It's what we depend on the Lord, and we trust him. What we don't have, we give, so God will give to us so that we can supply to our missionaries around the world so they can preach the gospel. We think sometimes nobody really cares. There's a world out there before us this morning that really believe nobody loves them. Nobody cares about them. Nobody is there for them. But the scripture says that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He careth for you and I. 1 Peter chapter 5. Sometimes we feel all alone. How many times we, in the darkness of the night, we feel so very alone. There may be people around us, but yet we feel very alone. Our hearts, our minds, are to the point that we are becoming despondent in the things of the world around us, and we feel so very alone. But the Lord says, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. It doesn't matter how lonely we get, doesn't matter how many problems come to our life, we can rest assured that the Lord is there for us and that he cares about us because he loves us. Sometimes we say, I'm afraid. Sometimes fear comes upon us, and in this particular time frame of our history, multitudes of people are very, very scared. Some are scared to do hardly anything. Much of it, I believe, is because of some of the reports that have been given, some of the continual processes that are going on, and the fears that come upon men's hearts. Sometimes we just have fear in our heart and fear in our soul. Well, the scripture has an answer to that. He says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so, thank God this morning, he has the answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too difficult that God cannot? You see, God can do everything. And so that puts all of our fears and all of our problems to the side when we realize that God can. God can do. God can even, as he told Moses, God can set a table in the wilderness that we can have our nourishment. God can supply manna from heaven. And if God can do that, God can pay our bills. God can heal our families. God can take care of the needs that we have. God is able. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I can definitely say by the authority of the Word of God, there's nothing too hard for our God. If he can save a sinner, he can do anything else. If he spoke the worlds into existence, he can control the world. If he gives us life eternal, then he can take care of life here that is temporary upon this earth, and we can rejoice in him. So I want us to look this morning at some four or five things that we would look at to say, is it too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for our God? Number one, there is no promise too hard that the Lord cannot or will not fulfill. You can rest assured if God's put a promise in his word, that promise will be fulfilled. We have historical records, we have biblical records that let us know that many of the promises that God has already given to us have been fulfilled. And what an encouragement that is, if hundreds of promises have been taken care of in the past, he can take care of the promises right now. He can take care of promises tomorrow because he can do as he so chooses to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Someone has calculated that there are over 30,000 promises in the Word of God. And there we find in 2 Corinthians all of them in God are yea or yes. Praise the Lord for the promises that can be answered, have been answered in the past, are being answered right now, and will be answered yet in the future. God has a will for every promise that he's made. He is fully able to supply. He says what he hath promised, he was also able to perform. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 21. In Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 2, it says, and being fully persuaded what he has promised, he is able to perform. And then it says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began in hope of eternal life. It says that God has promised before the world ever began, it will be. Thank God we do have life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. And really and truly, every person that's ever lived or shall live upon this earth has an eternal life. When God breathed upon man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, that word living there is a word that means never to die. And so every person that's ever lived or shall live is an eternal soul. The important question is where will we live? Where will we spend that eternity? And the Bible is very clear to tell us that if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have that eternity with him in heaven in a home that's been prepared for us. It's not prepared for the angels, it's prepared for you and I. And thank God we have that promise that we shall go there. But for those that do not receive and do not believe upon Christ as personal Savior, there's a place that's prepared that is there before them in all eternity. And the rich man in the New Testament, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he was tormented. And the scripture is very clear that that was an eternal torment. And so we have eternal life. And the important thing is to make sure that our eternity is spent with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's no promise. God has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. If we call upon him, he will hear us, he will answer us, and then the Bible says he will save us and save us to the uttermost. And so there's not a promise that has not been fulfilled. There's not a promise that is not being fulfilled, and there's not a promise in the future that will not be fulfilled because God can answer every problem. He is able to do that. Is it too hard for God? No. He can take care of all of that. Number two, there is no promise that's too hard. There's no prayer, rather, that is too hard for God to answer. Now, we sometimes have difficult times praying. And if we'd be honest with each other, we'd all have to raise our hand and say, I've had sometimes a lot of difficulty praying. I've had a lot of difficulty sometimes believing that God would even hear my prayer. But he has promised us that he will hear us. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33 and verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33 and 3. The former piano player here at our church, Miss Linda Polly, she's already home with the Lord. And she was a teacher in the school. She always told her kids, and I've heard her testify many times, that God's telephone number was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer. Thank God this morning we can call upon the Lord, and he does hear us. He will take care of us, and he'll answer our prayer. And there's no prayer that I have, and there's no prayer that you have, is too hard for God to answer. It's not impossible for God to answer our prayer. Now, some of our prayers may not be in his will, and he doesn't answer them the way we feel that we want him to, but it's not too hard for him. He just looks at, knows the will of God for our life, and sometimes the answer is no. And with Abraham, sometimes it is not yet. Abraham was crying to the Lord, "Why don't I have a seed?" And God said, "Not yet." And years go by, and Abraham gets despondent, gets discouraged, and he asks again, "I have no seed, Lord, why?" And then God says, "Abraham, is there anything too hard for me?" And therefore, just soon after that, Abraham and Sarah have their son. And through that seed, we have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that the prayers that we pray, they're not too hard for God, and he does answer. We will call upon him. "I will answer thee." And then it says, "Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You see, God has things prepared for us that we haven't even thought of. The New Testament tells us that our eyes haven't beheld, our ears haven't heard. We haven't experienced what he has prepared for us in heaven. But I believe also we don't realize all the things that he has for us here upon this earth as a child of God. And so there's no problem that he cannot cure. There's no prayer that he cannot answer. There's no difficulty. There's no promise that he cannot give and can fulfill that promise. And so thank the Lord for that. He says, "My grace is sufficient." Do you have problems in your life this morning? God can answer. God can give you what your need is, and God can supply that. "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul was, I believe, despondent. He had prayed time and time again for the Lord to remove the thorn that was in his flesh. There's a lot of conjecture on what that thorn was, and the Bible doesn't really tell us what it was. Well, all we can do is suppose. But whatever it was, the Lord prayed to the Paul prayed to the Lord three different times for him to remove that. And God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient." Praise the Lord this morning for every problem that comes our way, for every difficulty that comes before us. His grace is sufficient. Philippians tells us we can do all things through Christ, and he's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that gives us the ability to go through our daily walk of life. And so therefore, the promises of God, the prayers of God's people, the problems that we face, praise the Lord, there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord to handle. There's no place too hard for the Lord to revive. If America ever needed anything right now, America needs revival. Some people say, "Well, I don't believe God's going to give revival," and I have probably made that statement. But you know, it's not too hard for the Lord to do that if it's in his will. If there ever was a time that we as a people need a moving, a stirring of God across our nation, it is right now. Our nation and much our nation's leadership, much of it is sold out to the wickedness of this world. Much of it is sold out to the to the wiles of the devil, the wicked one. Wickedness on every hand, and difficulties to the land. And some people say, well, I believe God's just given up on us. God doesn't give up on his people. Now, he may let us go through things. He may disturb around us, but he never does give up on us. And there's no place too hard for God to send a stirring. We call it a revival. Now, a revival really, in the strictest sense of the word, is a rekindling of the fire that we have in our soul because we are saved. And that is a reviving of the spirit, the work of the Spirit in our life. What you and I need, what our country needs, is a revival. But not only does it need a revival, it needs an awakening. An awakening is what happens to the world out there that knows not God. They are dead in sins and trespasses. They're blind. They're like a corpse, not able to do anything until the Spirit of God moves upon them. And God has to awaken a man's mind and awaken a man's spirit for him to be able to understand that he needs God. In America, for the child of God, we certainly need a revival. But for those that never have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, America, this world, needs an awakening, that the Holy Spirit of God would move and awaken people's heart to the fact that they need God. They need the Lord. I have a book in my office that is Last Words of Saints and Sinners. It's a very stirring book. And very different between the words of a child of God when they leave this world and the words of those that know not God. There's one little section in that book, I do not remember who it was that they were referring to, but they were on their deathbed, they were not a believer, and they come to the point that they knew they didn't have much time. And they asked the nurse, say, would you please open the window? I opened the curtain of the window that I can look out. And as that gentleman looked out, he made the statement, I need God. That is what the world needs this morning. I need God. That's his last words. I pray this morning that as we look upon our world, we realize that our world needs the Lord. Our world needs a Savior that is able to supply every need. They have a Savior, but they need to accept him and believe upon him. So there's not a place too hard that God cannot send revival. May we pray this morning for the revival of God's people. May we pray this morning for the revival of the love and compassion of God's word. And may we pray for the revival of the love for God's people. So much animosity today. And we're all guilty of that. But may God help us to be revived in our heart, to see men and women, boys and girls, as God sees them, and that God would send revival to you and I, because there is no person too hard for the Lord. Is it too hard for me, Abraham? No. Is it too hard for God to save a sinner? No, it's very easy. And there's no place too hard, and there's no person too hard. Paul said, I was chief of sinners. And I heard someone say one time, if Paul was the chief of sinners, then he can take care of all of us that are under the chief. I'm glad this morning Jesus saves. All to him I owe. All to him we bring. And thank God he can save us. He's able, according to Hebrews chapter 7, 25, he's able to save to the uttermost. That means as far as you go away from God, you're not going to get away from him. You'll find him right where you go. So there's just no problem. There's no promise. There's no difficulty of life. There's no prayer that God can't answer. There's no place that he cannot be found, because he's everywhere. And no one is too hard for God to save. He didn't come to call the righteous. Jesus said, I've come to call sinners. And Paul said, I'm chief. And probably every one of us, when we got to the place of believing upon the Lord for our personal Savior, we felt like we were the chief of sinners. But yet God loved us God saved us, and one day God will carry us home. I pray you have a good day today. This is the Lord's Day. Enjoy the beauty of the sunshine. I think it's supposed to rain a little bit later, but enjoy what God gives us, and just know that God can. Is there anything too hard for God? And the answer is an emphatic capital N, capital O, no. May God bless you today, and we'll be back tonight at 7 o'clock. The Lord bless you.